So you're driving along the road and you come up to a dirty, great big pond. What do? Turn around and go back. Not in this, you don't.
Welcome to Scrap Heap Challenge. Here's how it works. We dream up weird and wonderful machines, and our two teams of intrepid folk have to build them. They have just one day, and they can only use the junk they find on our scrap heap.
This week, the challenge is to build an amphibious vehicle, which has to carry all four team members. They've got to drive on land, then across a lake, then somehow power themselves out of the water for the race to the finish line. So let's meet the teams.
The team in turquoise is the Navy Blues. They're all Royal Navy engineering instructors based at HMS Sultan in Portsmouth.
Start and select port time.
Open the LP fuel valve.
They might look fresh-faced, but between them, they've notched up 30 years naval experience and spent 10 years at sea. They're all dying to swap a life on the ocean wave for a day on our scrap heap.
My name's Mark Downer. I'm a lieutenant in the Royal Navy, a marine engineering officer. Though I specialise in naval architecture. I'm the captain of the Navy Blues, and we're expecting to sink the opposition.
I'm Lieutenant Doug Richardson. I'm a nuclear engineer and submariner by trade. I'm looking forward to the competition and getting stuck in.
My name is Lieutenant Samantha Donnelly. I teach electronic engineering within the Royal Navy, and I'd like to teach the opposition a lesson or two.
The Navy Blues' chosen expert is Jonathan Spedding, Yorkshireman and engineering all-rounder, whose private passion is building and racing hovercraft. And in a fetching shade of pink, it's the Bodgers, with old scrap heap hand Bowser Munson. They're a bunch of London bikers who spend their lives bodging bike engines. Bowser's teammates are wife Babs and best mate Lurch.
I'm Bowser Munson. You might remember me from the first series. I need my head examining for coming back. But this time I'm with a team of bikers, and we're going all the way to the final.
Hi, I'm Babs. I'm a chemistry technician at a local boys' school. I'm married to Bowser, and I'm team leader, because he says I can be.
My name's Lurch. Everybody thinks I'm miserable, but I'm a happy person, really.
The bikers are coming to town, and they reckon they're going to leave tyre marks all over the Navy's backs. The Bodgers expert is Mark Eason. He's deadly competitive and spends all his spare time building and racing amphibious motorbikes.
A quick reminder of the rules. All the stuff you need must be scavenged from the scrap heap. Sneaking off down the hardware shop will be severely frowned upon. So, Bodgers, Navy Blues, brace yourselves. You have 10 hours to build an amphibious vehicle, and the time starts now.
Is it a boat or is it a car? Sadly for them, it's got to be both.
We've got to drive it on land, it's got to float, and we've got to drive it in the water, OK? So what I suggest we do, look for a whole vehicle, right. First of all.
Diesel or petrol?
Diesel would be better.
Engine, something that's going to float, some wheels, maybe, to get over.
Try to find a boat, if there's one there.
Right.
And we basically add the boat to
right.
it to make
okay.
it work. Let's get out on the side
and see what
we can find. We need a rear drive engine.
Go.
Most important, engine. a hull and an engine to start with. So right then, let's see if we can come up with a...
And they're off. Bowser heads out, closely followed by Doug to scavenge what they need from the scrap heap. Big Doug's learning fast. He's used to tuning the engines on nuclear submarines. Now he's looking for inspiration from an old wheelbarrow. As a scrap heap veteran, Bowser knows the name of the game is to grab whatever you can lay your hands on. But what's he going to do with that lot? Looks like Doug's getting the hang of this scavenging, Mark.
One propeller.
Well done.
more important are bearings.
Brilliant, yeah.
You look after them, they're like gold dust.
Okay, I found one over there, I think, as well. Perfect.
Yep, a light for our boat.
An amphib is one of the wackier ideas in engineering. It's basically a vehicle which is equally at home on land or in water. It needs to have a drive system to make it go along on land, usually an engine driving some wheels, and normally a second engine joined onto a propeller to take over and drive it through the water. The toughest part is making sure there's enough power to push the vehicle and the team up the slipway and out of the water.
The Bodgers have already found a super lightweight bit of kit.
You know, you wanted a vehicle. There's a couple of cars out here and there's a Land Rover. It's a bit beat up, but it might do.
Get it.
If you get Land Rover, get it.
If you need a vehicle, this is as good as anything because it's got a metal chassis we can weld stuff to. Right.
A Land Rover? Well, they're famous for floating, aren't they?
You ready, Paul?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think we need the radio.
One big plus is the Landy's diesel engine. Not many people know this, but a diesel engine can run underwater. That's because diesel combustion doesn't use sparks and electrics. Pretty useful in a car that's going for a swim.
We've got a vehicle. We've got some buoyancy.
Yeah.
Lurch has got the job of trying to start up 10-ton Tessie.
There's the engine that drives the four wheels.
Yeah.
What we want to try and do for buoyancy is to graft on parts of a boat, if we can, to the sides and the front.
Land Rovers don't naturally lend themselves to a life on water. That's because for an object to float, it must weigh less than the water it displaces. A Land Rover weighs a good deal more, and so it sinks. To make it float, the team must somehow make it buoyant. They could do this using oil drums. These are very buoyant because they have a large volume but are light for their size, so they weigh a good deal less than the water they displace.
This is going to be awfully heavy when you consider you've got four of us in it as well.
Yeah, there'll be enough.
And my Bowser's not the lightest thing on two legs.
There's going to be enough buoyancy there to keep it afloat.
If they can find anything like oil drums, water containers,
yep,
anything sort of like thing. That.
Yep, empty oil drums, perfect.
OK, so the Land Rover's got a little weight problem, but the Bodgers, being mad bikers, are in their element now. They've got a huge, great mother of a motor with a 2.5-litre engine.
Good luck.
So, Babs,
yes.
1 hour gone, 9 hours left. What's the plan with the Land Rover?
It's going to float.
So it's four-wheel drive, is it, this thing?
Yes, it is. It's optional, two- or four-wheel drive. So we've got two possibilities here. We can either run the vehicle in permanent four-wheel drive mode and use a spare engine to drive the propeller, or we can drive the vehicle in two-wheel drive mode and use the rear drive to drive the propeller.
So you'll disengage the back axle, you'll just have it on front-wheel drive.
Possibly.
With one engine driving that,
that's,
and then get the propeller
way.
On the back.
Yeah.
Right. The Bodgers have a cunning plan to make their Land Rover amphibious. Instead of having two engines separately driving wheels and propeller, they're going to bodge its single engine to do both jobs at once. As a four-wheel drive, the engine drives the front and rear wheels via a prop shaft. The Reds plan to weld a boat propeller onto the prop shaft so that the engine will turn the prop and power the car through water. That leaves the front-wheel drive to pull them up the slipway, the toughest part of the course.
You can just see it sticking out there.
Back at the Navy Blues camp, Sam has spotted a van roof, which might just have a secret craving to be a boat.
The top of that transit, there's a Luton conversion. It's all fibreglass, the whole top
right,
piece
it's all
is fibreglass,
fibreglass.
And it's just held in with sealant.
Oh, excellent.
That's it. Got it.
The Navy, being salty sea dogs, want to make something that floats, then adapt it to go on land. Sam reckons the fibreglass roof off the van has serious ocean-going potential.
We want to spread the load, don't we?
Now Mark and John have to work out how to make a van roof go vroom.
What other options have we got?
We could blow it along.
Blow it along?
Because if we blow it along, we don't have to do lots of transmission work.
Yeah, that's certainly going to help.
So if we put
because we haven't got to drive through the wheels then either.
Just put a fan in it.
Oh, right.
Let's have it overhanging the back. Then it can be just above the water level.
Gotcha.
Yeah?
Yep.
So I need to put an engine in.
Yes, Doug?
Yeah, I've got a Ford Sierra engine here.
Ford Sierra engine? What
size? 2 litre gear.
Gear, that's 2 litre. Yeah, that'll do.
2 litre? Yeah, that'll do. Yeah, get hold of that one. Does it look like it works?
Well, it looks all right. It looks fairly intact. Hold on.
Doug's been seduced by a very fancy fuel-injected engine. Very fancy, but very complicated.
While you're looking, we need to try and find a propeller or something like that. We're going to try and build a fan.
To blow us along.
So you want a propeller?
If you can find one.
OK, I'll have a look.
Doug finds a plane fast enough. The prop must be round here somewhere.
Airplane, no propeller.
Looks like it's chocks away for the Navy plan to use air power.
Just see which way the crank runs.
Right.
Time for the Navy Blues captain, Mark, to tell the team his fantastic plan.
OK. Right, what we come up with is Jonathan's suggesting that we drive this thing with a fan, which is why we found the propeller.
Yeah.
So we've got quite a good hole on the top of that Luton van. OK. What we're going to try and do is mount the engine quite high up so we can overhang from the back, so we need the gearbox on it, make sure it's running at the right speed, and then we're going to put this prop on the back here.
Okay.
And then as far as going over the land's concerned, we're going to stick some wheels on it, four wheels, so it's spreading the load nice and thick.
Right, steerage.
Okay. And now I was thinking about steerage. We need to steer it on land and in the water. There's no real place to put rudders. We don't want to go with anything over the back. So what I'm thinking is if we can steer the back wheels will steer us on land. They'll also act as a rudder. If we can get some fairly thin ones, they'll act as perfect rudders, because they'll be in the water anyway.
Yeah.
The Navy Blues have thrown decades of amphibious convention to the winds. Their eccentric plan is to mount the Ford Sierra engine on a frame inside their van roof hull and hook it up to an aeroplane propeller. The prop won't go in the water, but will blow them along on land and sea without any need to drive the wheels. A sort of giant mobile hairdryer.
So the plan that we've got, we're going to try and make this pretty quick, is to build a massive great fan on the back. We've got a propeller.
Oh, right. So, you're not going to have a propeller in the water. You've got a propeller...
No, up in the air. So we've got air-driven fan.
You're going to raise the engine up. The engine's going to be higher.
Yeah, it's going to have to be very similar to the swamp skimmers on the Everglades.
Right.
With wheels.
A swamp skimmer with wheels.
With wheels, yeah.
So you've got to think of a name for it as well, haven't you? That's the other thing.
Yeah, we might have just made one up.
Swamp skimmer with wheels.
Skimmer with wheels.
S an SSWW.
SSWW.com.
Things that drive on land and float in water. I mean, where did that catch on?
June the 6th, 1944, D-Day, the Allied invasion of France. 2,000 amphibious vehicles known as Ducks played a key role, landing thousands of troops and bringing ashore nearly half the seaborne supplies in the invasion. When the war began, the top brass were sceptical of Ducks. They cost as much as a three-bedroom house and were expected to be an easy target for enemy fire. But in fact, they were so successful that many World War II Ducks survived in army service till well into the 70s. The Bodgers couldn't invade a sweet shop at the moment. Lurch is still hunting for a battery to start the Bodgers Land Rover.
That's a good battery.
But will it work?
Right, I'm going to go for a crank.
This is dead batteries.
That's flat too. We need another battery still.
The Navy Blues need that Sierra's engine to power their swamp skimmer. But first they've got to break its steering lock so they can push the car back to base to get the engine out.
How do you break a steering lock?
Big crowbar.
Put a big piece of steel through the handlebars and just...
Put a big piece of steel through the steering wheel.
Break it.
Big piece of steel through the steering wheel and break it. We've tried that.
Lever.
Yeah, the wheel looks nice and mangled, but steering lock's still on.
Steering lock's still blocked.
Big hammer.
Bigger hammer.
just stolen cars as a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
At last, the Blues beat the Sierra's steering lock into submission.
Turn.
Held it.
The indicators are working.
Yeah, indicators are working. Just pass it to my tea, actually.
I don't want a windscreen wipers.
This is the first time I've seen a team go out to get an engine and come back with a whole car, complete with a working indicator. And a lot of wires hanging out inside that have just been smashed off rather brutally with what was described as a Birmingham screwdriver, which is a large lump hammer. And they're now trying to wire it back together to make it work. Which they will do, because they're very confident. How many cars have you hot-wired in your life?
If my mum's watching, none.
And what about your black box? I'm worried about your black box. You think that's all right?
Yeah, the black box will be fine.
All right,
be...
you haven't smashed that up.
No, because okay. That should be buried underneath the bulkhead right. Somewhere.
Bowser's on buoyancy duty. He's found two oil barrels to help their Land Rover float, but he knows they need plenty more.
It's a very heavy lump of metal. I'm just thinking of buoyancy and floaty stuff.
Land Rovers and Bowser do not make girly equations.
No.
These drums here, they're 50-gallon drums.
Right.
And they displace 500 pounds of water each.
Right.
So, as long as we've got four of those...
And does that mean, when you say displace 500 pounds of water, does that mean that something weighing 500 pounds or 499 pounds can sit on the top of it and it won't sink? Right. So basically, you're telling me, Mark, that you can turn any car into a boat by just strapping loads of big cans to it, effectively.
Yeah, basically, yeah. If you've got a big enough oil drum like that one there, for instance, I think four of those should displace enough water to enable this Land Rover to float.
I wonder why Amphibious Motors never caught on with the punters. In the 60s, if you were a serious swinger, you just had to get your hands on an amphicar. It would cost you nearly 20 grand in today's money, and the steel bodywork would be rusted through before you'd paid off the bank loan. But in the meantime, you were a chick magnet. Nowadays, if you're after amphibious pulling power, you'll have to shell out 12,000 quid for a Dutton marine car. It's the brainchild of Tim Dutton, an automotive engineer who sussed that steel and water don't mix and went for a rust-proof fiberglass body instead. As the only manufacturer of civilian amphibs in the world, he's the perfect judge for today's challenge. Tim's agreed to help me keep an eye on proceedings throughout the day.
So, Tim, do you reckon we're going to have a couple of very wet teams tomorrow?
I think one of them's going in the boat direction, the blue team. They've got a hull sorted out, so that's looking quite promising. But the red team, they just seem to have a Land Rover with four wheels.
I mean, a Land Rover's not a light car, is it?
I should think it must really weighs a ton.
Right, so even stripped down like that.
Yeah, so we're talking about four barrels just to keep that afloat. And then the average person, 7,500 kilos each.
Yeah.
So they must only need six barrels.
Right.
And they've got two.
They've got two?
Yeah. So they're a third of the way there. So maybe they'll only a third sink. The blue team, they've got quite a bit to do because they're using a fuel-injected engine with electronic ignition and what have you, and I haven't actually heard the engine run yet. So they could spend a lot of time...
So they've chosen an extra bit of complication for themselves.
Yeah, they could actually get it all together and then find the engine doesn't work.
Yeah.
The Bodgers have got their own engine problems. Lurch has found the sixth battery of the day. The rest have all been duds.
Just check.
So what about this one?
We're all connected up in the right place.
Flat battery.
Another one that's flat.
Bugger.
Right, I'm going to go and have a look, see if there's another one.
Have we tried...
Down the coach, the plane, I found one in the boat, half of this half up in the JCB. We've done the Mini, the Orion, the Taunus, the fire engine.
Lurch is feeling the pressure. He started talking to himself. Bless.
There's got to be a way.
John is hoisting the engine out of the Sierra. The plan, to mount it on a frame in the Navy's boat hull where it will drive their aeroplane propeller. Well, that's the theory.
I just haven't heard your engine purring and I just wanted to check that it goes.
We hope so.
Have you tried it?
We've got it nearly to start and then we moved it over. we had to break the steering lock on it, and at the same time we managed to break one of the relays. So we haven't managed to actually get it to start yet.
Are you not a bit nervous about that?
Well, no, we're pretty confident.
Somebody on the
case. Our expert over there is pretty confident it's going to start.
Your expert who's... expert's denying all knowledge, I think.
I'm blaming him.
Bowser and Lurch are a pair of bright sparks, but they're still missing a good battery for the Land Rover.
Any battery on that? Well, what about the van?
I haven't looked at the van.
They're getting desperate.
Sailor boys John and Doug are doing a crash course in avionics. They've got two aeroplane propellers, both the perfect length, but only one of them is designed to turn clockwise, the same way as their engine drive.
This way it goes round in a minute, aren't we?
An aeroplane propeller has two faces, one curved and one flat, the flat face facing backwards. Air travelling over the curved part travels faster than air travelling over the flat part, creating low pressure on the curved part. This creates a suction force in front of the propeller and pulls it, and whatever is attached to it, forward. If the Blues fit a propeller designed to turn the opposite way, this aerofoil effect won't work as efficiently.
I wonder if it might be...
Babs and Mark have got buoyancy worries. They've realised it's a bit late to put the team on a diet.
It's not going to float, is it? What's Babs got hold of? Babs, what have you got hold of at the moment? Because we need some more buoyancy aids.
All right. It's lunchtime and the Bodgers' buoyancy worries haven't spoiled their appetite.
When you're doing your amphibious motorbikes,
yes.
how do you make them float?
Buoyancy.
Is it a similar thing to this?
Similar to this, but because there's four of us and because it's a heavy Land Rover, we need a lot more buoyancy on this. And it's going to be close. It's going to be marginal.
Okay? It's going to sink.
And I'm just sort of contemplating it now.
We're the wrong way around, you see. Most people would think, car, I'm going to make it float. We thought, boat, we're going to make it work on the land.
There's a little bit of cynicism about whether you're going to actually get out of the water once you're in.
Yeah, of course we
are. Not from us.
No, we're totally in support.
What, from the overall... He must be a big
expert. Just a feeling. We could call him an expert, yeah.
Well, the information that we got about these ramps was that we could do it, so...
Right.
If we get there and the ramps aren't... Like,
not worried. The other two might see us for spray anyway, so it's irrelevant.
Because I sort of envisage it going quite slow on the ground and then it hits the water and it just... huge wake, washing the bank.
Ducks drowning.
Yeah. Okay, right.
5 hours to go and Lurch has bagged yet another battery for the Bodgers. But will it make the Land Rover go vroom?
9, 10, go.
Yes! Yes!
Yes!
Woohoo!
Right, it goes. Yes, happy Christmas. Yes, it works.
While they're all getting busy, let's see how the professionals do it.
The Combat Engineer tractor is an 18-ton beast made of aluminium armour. The descendant of the Second World War ducks, it's often the Army's first vehicle into combat, crossing rivers and using its massive digger to build up bridgeheads so that ground forces can invade enemy territory. As our teams know, getting out of the water is the tricky bit, but it's no problem to this thing, even when faced with near vertical banks.
3, 2, 1, fire.
It fires a rocket carrying a 100-pound anchor which blasts into the bank and allows the CET to pull itself out using an 8-ton straight-pull winch. These chaps take amphibs to war. Wonder what they make of our team's outlandish contraptions.
Got a few visitors for you guys.
Diagonal.
These guys know a thing or two about amphibious vehicles, Bowser.
That's a good job, because we know absolutely nothing about it.
So they've driven their amphibious vehicles in the lake you're going to use, so they know. So how deep is it?
We're going to have 3.5 metres maximum depth there.
In real language, that's 10 foot.
About 10 foot. Yeah.
Hey, hold on, hold on. Is that about 10 feet?
Yeah.
Stand on tiptoe. That's all right. We can do it. We can sort it.
So how many more flotation units are you putting on here?
As many as we can fit. Yeah,
any more around the front?
Yeah.
I think the army are worried this thing is going to be left at the bottom of their lake.
45 Allen drums at the front. And we've got like little tiny ones to go on the inside. Yeah.
So who's done the calcs here then? Who's worked all this out?
Rule of
thumb.
We haven't calculated anything.
Just shove it on and see what happens.
Okay. We've got all the flotation tanks we can find, so there aren't any more. So it will either work or it won't work. And we'll find out tomorrow.
So this is the Navy blue team.
Time for the army to advise their pals in the Navy.
They've driven amphibious vehicles once or twice.
The army have heard the Navy in trouble. You need to know.
No, not at all.
Well, listen, I found this bilge pump. Thank it you. Might come in handy for you.
The army's little joke is going down like the Titanic.
Let's hope you don't need it.
Yeah, I hope not. We'll keep that just in case, I think.
So can you explain to us how it's going and how far?
Yeah, we've gone around it the wrong way. Well, the right way as far as we're concerned. We're building a boat and see if we can get it on land, really.
So it'll go in easy enough. How are you going to get out?
Well, I was going to get out again. Well, once the wheels are on there, fingers crossed, it's just going to keep going.
And blow up the...
Yeah, once this is on the water, it's going to shift. We've got 2 litres worth of fuel-injected Ford Sierra car there.
So it's ramming speed for the bank, is it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Flat out for the bank. Wheels right at the front.
Less than planing is not an option.
When these guys get stuck in the water, they've got a rocket that they fire at, which puts an anchor in the ground. So you couldn't lend them one, could you? You haven't got the spare one.
Maybe spare rockets, but, you know, an anchor might not be a bad idea to throw out and pull yourselves out.
Actually, you could do that.
So how are you going to stop it on then?
Another anchor. Throw an anchor out the back.
Stop the engine. If we can get the engine started, which is what we need to do.
Which is the snag at the moment, that ain't running.
That's what we have to do.
4 hours to go, and Sam's heading back to the Navy Blues bridge with bad news from the engine room.
Well, I'm sorry, I cannot make that engine run.
No, don't say that.
Don't say that.
There isn't even an electronic ignition box for it. I can't find it.
Sam has discovered that when the boys mutilated the Sierra's steering lock, they also smashed the state-of-the-art electronic ignition to bits. It's the revenge of the Ford Sierra, and it might just have torpedoed the Navy's chances. Over in the Bodgers' camp, there is the unmistakable smell of triumph.
We've found the battery.
Yes!
Yes! Just want to give you an update on what I proposed for the flotation, yeah? I'm going to try and slide a sheet of 8x4 ply underneath there. Maybe you could do this, Paul.
Bolt it to the chassis?
Yes. These are the plastic drums, OK? I want to sandwich as many plastic drums as we can.
So the plywood's just being used as a sandwich board?
That's right.
It's just to stop the containers running away.
All the plywood's got to do is lift the weight.
Even Lurch, the Bodger's Gloommeister General, is perking up.
This is going to work.
I've never thought I'd hear you say that.
There's a slight look of despondency on your face here. Yeah. What's going on?
Oh, this isn't the problem. That's the problem.
The boat bit's not a problem. No, it's just the engine and the wheels.
Oh, well, the wheels are causing us that.
What's wrong with the engine?
The black box on it seems to have disintegrated.
So what is a black box? I mean, it really is a black box in that you can't
of switches and relays in it that make sure that it's getting the right sparks at the right time.
Right. So it's not something you can fabricate?
No. We thought we might be able to, but we've looked at it, we've tried bypassing everything, and the answer looks to be no.
Even with the box, I'd have struggled.
Yeah.
Right. What is your advice to them, then? What would your advice be to them?
If they can't get the engine going within half an hour, it may be, with this engine with all its electronic ignition, if they can't find a replacement part, they'll have to go get an engine out of another car.
Just scrap that all together. Yeah.
Hold on.
The buoyancy brigade over here, feeling very confident.
The lander looks heavier every time I look at it.
And bigger.
It's now wider.
It's now a super wide road. It can only go along motorways, can't it?
I think the idea is to stop the other team from overtaking it because it's so wide.
Now the Blues have given up on their dead Sierra engine, John is back in the market for another top-of-the-range motor. The bodywork needs attention, but he only has eyes for the engine. It turns over. Well, that's a start.
There's a
Cortina.
Yeah.
1800 Cortina. Manual gearbox.
Right.
Points ignition.
Yeah.
Turns over on the key.
Yeah.
I haven't started it yet.
Should we start it over there?
I don't think it'll run because it's like that. It's just pouring petrol down the carb.
Right, but it
starts. It's over there, but it's exactly what you wanted. It's points ignition, coil, everything.
What's happening, guys? What's happening with your engine? Is it?
Well, we think we've got a bit of a breakthrough.
Have you?
We found another one.
All right.
We found another one, another Ford, so hopefully it's sort of
it'll fit on the same
thing. Yeah, we're hoping it's going to fit on the same frame. Not only that, it's a normal distributor.
Right.
Normal
points.
No, messing around with
no black boxes.
Ignition this time. it's manual gearbox. It's no automatic.
Yeah.
This is a bonus.
Oh, brilliant.
We've turned it over in the car. It's up in the air a little bit at the moment. It's a bit awkward, but it's up there. It turns with the key in the ignition, so we should be all right.
Brilliant.
Should be all right. I mean, it hasn't fired, but, I mean, what can we do?
Oh, right.
Hey. It's only a small drawback. Yeah.
I mean, this is shortenable, but once it's shortened, that's it. We've had it.
Yeah.
Shiver me timbers. Long John Bowser really is turning this lump of pig iron into a ship.
Yeah, that'll do.
5, 6, 7.
The moment of truth. Will the prop he's bodged on actually turn?
It's out. Go.
It works!
Yes!
Put foot brake on.
All those years spent up to their armpits in bike grease have finally paid off.
Switch her off!
The Navy Blues are going for a new engine in their usual gung-ho style.
I'll be down then.
Sam is keeping well out of it.
Would you like to drive?
I'd love to.
And I'll pull you.
Right. That lovely mower. Good little runner. Need some attention.
For the bodgers, it's a race against time. Can they get enough buoyancy on their Land Rover to counteract all the years of overindulgence?
Yeah. What bothers me most about this
is
at the moment, all our buoyancy is at the front.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got nothing at the back just at the moment.
Yeah, that's true. Now, that would worry. I mean, if you're worried about it, I'm terrified.
What's he doing? He's popping one of these on there.
In fact, I might actually have to sit at the front and counterbalance it, because I'm a bit nutritionally challenged.
Now that's what I call a rudder.
3 hours to sunset and the Navy Blues are finally getting round to making their boat hull roadworthy. The wheels will go on axles under the hull and rather unusually will be steered on land by the tiller bar. They'll need to mount a bearing so the axle doesn't knock against the hull and make steering impossible. Then the idea is that the rear wheels will double up as rudders in the water. But it's all a bit primitive.
Just force it through. Okay.
Having wrecked one perfectly good engine, the Navy Blues are having a good go at destroying another.
No, they're going on next door, aren't
they? It does go vroom. I mean, it does do that. It actually does go vroom, doesn't it, Jonathan?
It's been vroom.
It's been vroom.
It's been vroom.
Yeah. If they all finish, who's your money on?
I still think it's on the red team.
Is it?
Because they've got the wheels driving and they've got a propeller, so it's more conventional. But you never know, the blue team, they may, you know, if it was a speed trial, they may win.
But your money's on the reds at the moment?
My money's still on the reds.
On the bodgers?
On the bodgers.
They're looking confident.
Well, they're eating at the moment.
Yeah. They're still eating. They've had 4 puddings, I think. Yeah.
While the bodgers put their feet up, the Navy ship is still missing a few extras like engine, wheels, steering, and the sun seems to have set early.
This week will be good as well.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch. It's the world record for holding your arms above your head.
The bikers are confident they have enough buoyancy.
No, in the middle. It's in the middle.
Hard lock.
Yeah, quarter inch square.
Okay, we've got plenty of room this side.
There's a bit of angle iron by the door.
Teams, you have 1 hour remaining. 1 hour remaining. Thank you. The moment of truth. Time for the Blues to mount that perfect propeller.
That's too low. It's not high enough. It's in the water. Jonathan! It's in the water.
That's not. Yes, it is.
It's got to go up by about a foot. Or we've got to remove the ends off the propellers. Which you don't want to do.
The Navy Blues are in serious trouble, aren't they?
They're
really?
Very blue.
Have you seen the latest development is that they've actually realised with the change of engine that they've mounted the engine too low.
Oh, no.
So that the propeller is actually going to be in the water. So,
oh,
so their
no.
beautifully engineered propeller, they're now cutting down to size with brute force, yeah.
They're soaring. Oh no, I didn't know that's
it's
what was happening.
Absolutely desperate measures.
So they've got a very short propeller with less push, presumably. With, I don't
know
what happens when you saw a propeller.
They have,
presumably it doesn't push as much.
It doesn't, because the tips are all carefully moulded to give you a nice aerofoil.
So now this weekend.
There'll be a lot of going round and not much going forward, I think.
I know it doesn't look like it, but we are actually nearly finished the back bit.
That's all that's left.
Good evening.
Great.
We can sew.
Okay, everybody, this is your final announcement. You have 5 minutes. 5 minutes to the absolute final.
5 minutes. We've got to get them barrels on. 5 minutes left.
It's a mad dash to the finish. The bodgers are almost there, but the Navy craft is less than shipshape.
No, gently.
Yeah,
OK, teams, that's it. The sun has finally set. Oh, boy, has the sun set on Scrap Heap today. It's time to down tools. You've done a magnificent job. Tomorrow is another day. There may be a little bit of time for a small amount of tinkering in the morning. Those final bits of polishing to your magnificent machines. So we'll see you in the morning. Rest ye well. The Army tank range at Bovington, where the British Army train all their armoured vehicle drivers. And what better place for the Scrap Heap Amphibious Vehicle Challenge? It's going to be an amazing test. What do you drive normally then?
Okay, team's going to outline the course for you. You're going to be starting at the red and white stripe marker on the far side of the lake. We've given you quite a little bit of generous downhill incline into the ramp on the far side to get you into the water. Then you can follow any route you like across the lake, but just staying this side of the blue buoys. And then you've got to get out of this shallower ramp here, round quite a tight bend for the final long straight race to the finish line. Good luck.
We've allowed the teams a bit of last-minute bodging time on their amphibious contraptions before they drive them into 3 metres of water. And boy, do they need it. The Navy Blues have a boat hull which was a van roof in a previous life. It'll probably float, but will it go on land? They've had a few engine problems and also had to saw 2 foot off their aeroplane propeller. This thing used to be a Land Rover. The bodgers strapped on some big oil drums to make it float and bodged on a boat propeller to power them across the lake. They're filling up on liquid foam in a last-ditch bid to keep them watertight. Bit late, chaps.
Bodgers, are you ready?
Yep.
Navy Blues, are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Gentlemen, please start your engines. The Navy Blues are bailing. The hulls got cracked in the crash. They're sinking lower and lower, so their aeroplane propeller is hitting the water and sending them round in circles. And under the rules, each time the Blues paddle or push their craft, they are racking up a 10-second penalty.
But the Bodgers are storming out now. How are they going to get out? This is the terrifying.
Well, I think they'll be all right because they've got the drive from the wheels.
Have to paddle it.
So their lack of steering, I mean, they really needed a rudder of some sort. Because actually, they are moving. They're just moving around in circles. It's crunch time for the Bodgers. Will the front-wheel drive get them up the slipway? No, they've got out! The Bodgers are out!
Look at that.
Look at that. They haven't pushed. They haven't paddled. They haven't pulled.
Look at the speed they're going at. They're unstoppable.
The Bodgers have got around the course so fast, it's going to be a job getting to the finish line before them.
Unbelievable! That is quite awesome. Are they going to go around a second time, do you think?
And it looks like they want to. They better go in and save the others.
Oh, was that not?
Well, it's down
there.
Oh,
yeah, look at that.
Oh, yes!
Did you like that? Incredible. They're still in the water.
Well, it's done.
The Navy's still afloat, just. Let's see an action replay of the crash that sunk their hopes. The replay confirms that the Navy's Stone Age steering device caused the pile-up, and their swamp skimmer never really recovered.
Should we go and rescue them in our boat?
Oh, it's very cool.
All the nice girls love the sailor. All the nice.
Told you it wouldn't sink, did I?
Yeah, you did say it wouldn't sink. It didn't sink.
And the very unfortunate sign on the back of the boat, catch us. No, the steering really let them down, along with the wheels and the engine and the propeller.
The Navy Blues have run up a massive time penalty for all that paddling and pushing. But between you and me, it's all a bit academic, really.
Well done. Well done.
Good try. Well, fortunate.
Didn't know we crashed into you at the start.
No, it didn't.
Sorry about that.
I didn't even know you'd done it until somebody told me like that.
Would you like a lift for ending one that goes quicker?
Yeah.
It floats. It got round.
It steered itself with the propeller, though, didn't it?
Yes. And there's quite a bit of the propeller missing at the back as well.
Yeah. Fire's lined up outside.
I think it could catch on.
Yeah.
It's been a tough decision. I've consulted with the judges. But I think the Bodgers have it. Well done, Bodgers. Fantastic effort. You did float. You got through. And Navy Blues, I mean, you know, a fantastic effort. You did. You finished the circuit. You did float. You got back here, amazingly enough, but I'm afraid. And you've got a 1 hour 90 second penalty, which is a bit of a problem.
The penalty that killed us.
It's the penalty that killed you. Well, that was a fantastic effort by both teams. But the
next today, Mark and the boys are using an old Granada as the basis for a kit car copy of a classic two-seater Cobra. It's Dream Machines after the break.